Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We'll be focusing today on verses 5 through 11. Before we read, let's take a moment to pray. Father, when we gather in your name, we know that you've promised to be here in our midst, and in a special way that you come and reveal yourself. We thank you for your Spirit who teaches us your word, and most of all, we thank you for Yeshua the Messiah. Today we ask that you would help us to know you and to love you ever more deeply through Yeshua. We pray in his name. Amen. Yeshua, on the night before he was crucified, spent time with his 11 apostles in an intimate time of teaching and sharing his heart. And he has told them not to be troubled, and told them about the place that he will be preparing for them as he leaves, and then says that he's going away and that they know the way. And then Thomas says in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Yeshua said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Yeshua said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Yeshua says that he is not only the destination, that we are going with him to a heavenly home, but Yeshua himself is also the route by which we travel. And Yeshua is the truth and the life, the one who accompanies us all along the way on the journey. And Yeshua is taking us and bringing us into an intimate and personal relationship with the Father. And he helps us to understand that the life of the Father and the life of the Son are intricately intertwined. That Yeshua, as John has said in this first chapter, is God, as well as the Father being God. And Yeshua comes again to help us see the glory and the wonder of the Trinity, that God is one God in three persons, equal and of one essence. And he says that when we know Yeshua, when we know the Son, we know the Father. And if we don't know the Son, we cannot know the Father either. To say we believe in God and reject Yeshua is to say that we do not understand that the only way to know God is through Yeshua the Messiah. And Yeshua, I think, wants us to see and helps us to see here what he will pray in just a few moments in John 17. In John 17, verse 3, in his high priestly prayer, Yeshua will pray, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Yeshua Mashiach, whom you have sent. That eternal life is wrapped up in an intimate and personal knowing of God through Yeshua. God wants us to know that he has made us for himself. He created us, and he created us for an intimate and personal relationship with himself. Jeremiah talks about this in his prophecy in chapter 9. He talks about the fact that the most important thing in life is that we would know God. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, he writes this, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord." And then Isaiah, in his great prophecy in chapter 43, talks about knowing the Lord and knowing the glory of the Lord and that we were created for him. Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in verse 3. "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him, yes, I have made him." We have been made to know God intimately and personally, to know his glory and to live in relationship with him. John writes earlier that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, Yeshua, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Shaul would write that all things were made by him, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And so when Yeshua is talking about knowing God, he is talking about the essence of what life is, that eternal life is an intimate, eternal knowing of God, that somehow we come to know God personally as we see him revealed in Yeshua, and we begin a life that will last into all eternity. As someone has said, it will take us all eternity to discover the infinity of God. Yeshua talks about the intimacy of the relationship the Father has with the Son, and he says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and in fact you do know him and have seen him, because you have seen him in me." On one occasion, earlier in this book of John, John writes about the conversation that Yeshua had with the religious leaders of his day in John chapter 8. In verse 54 and following, Jesus is responding to these religious leaders. And he says, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Yeshua said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Yeshua, referring to that name that God gave to Moses in the encounter that Moses had with God at the bush that was on fire and was not consumed. And God called Moses and sent him to the people to deliver them. And Moses said, "When they ask me who sent me, and I tell them, what name shall I give? And God said, give them this name, I am that I am, Yahweh. And Yeshua is saying, I am. Yeshua and the Father are one. And in fact, John will say that in another occasion in John chapter 10. Again, Yeshua is teaching and responding. And Yeshua says in John chapter 10 and verse 25, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So when we see Yeshua the Messiah, we see the Father. When we have come to trust and know Yeshua the Messiah, we have come to trust and know the Father. The way to the Father is through Yeshua and through Yeshua alone. Peter would write about this too in the book of Acts when he was speaking that salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved other than Yeshua the Messiah. The Father invites us into a relationship with Himself that is intimate and personal, that we would know Him, and we know Him through Yeshua. Yeshua said that my life is so intimately wrapped up with the Father that I do nothing except what I see the Father doing, and I say nothing except what I hear the Father instructing me to say. Then Philip comes to us and asks a question and perhaps expresses the heart and soul of every human life. Philip says in verse 8 in John chapter 14, he says to Yeshua, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And it is reminiscent of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon writes that God has set eternity in our hearts. And it is our longing, if we will pay attention, it is our longing to know God and to see Him. And yet, Philip also shows us that knowing God is sometimes a challenging thing. That we can have God right before us and yet not recognize Him. Yeshua responds to Philip, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Philip, Yeshua is saying, I'm right before your eyes. The Father is right before your eyes. Perhaps Philip was thinking back to that time when Moses was interceding for the people. Moses desired to know God, and he desired to know Him so deeply that he reached as high as any human can reach in prayer. And he said, God, show me your glory. I want to see you. And God said, if I showed you the full manifestation of my glory, you would be obliterated. I am so incredibly glorious, but I will show you my back. I will hide you in the cleft of the rock and take my hand away so that you can see my back, but my face cannot be seen, because no living human can stand the full manifestation of the glory of God in flesh. And so Philip perhaps was expressing that longing, that he wanted that kind of visible, glorious experience of seeing the Father. And Yeshua is helping us understand that we need to take carefully into our minds and hearts the fact that in Yeshua, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. And that these scriptures are dynamite because they are the Word of God and the Word of Yeshua. That this experience that we are having right now is an encounter with the Father and with the Son. Do not take this lightly. Every time we open this book and read it, whether it is together or personally, privately, we are having an encounter with the living God. That is as glorious and as marvelous as when Moses saw the glory of God. As when Philip, in the very presence of God himself, said, "Show us the Father." And Yeshua says, "You are looking at him." Eternal life is all about knowing God. And when we have come to know God through this relationship with Yeshua, we are set on an adventure and a journey that lasts forever. Always we know God and we are in the process of knowing God. We know enough about God to say we can know God, and yet there is so much more of Him to know. There is, as it were, a contented discontentment in us, that we are satisfied with God Himself, but we are not satisfied with where we are. We want to know more and more. It is a glorious and holy satisfied dissatisfaction that God has invited us into. And it is a glorious life. And Shaul talked about this in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 3. He talked about his life as a Jewish man. He talked about his credentials and his family background in Philippians chapter 3. In verse 1, he writes, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Messiah Yeshua, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Messiah. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish that I may gain Messiah." And so, Shaul, writing to this Philippian congregation, describes his background. And he says, "I was a Jew of Jews. I was circumcised on the eighth day, just as the commandment said. I was of the tribe of Benjamin, that tribe from which the first king came. I was born of Jewish parents, a Hebrew of Hebrews. And I became a Pharisee, the most zealous sect of the Jewish people. And I was so zealous that externally I kept the law blamelessly, and I even persecuted those that I felt were headed the wrong way." All of that, Shaul said, from an outward fleshly point of view, was to my credit. But then Shaul encountered the living Messiah, Yeshua, on the road to Damascus. And when he encountered him, his life was set right side up, and he had the proper perspective. And he saw that all of this was worth nothing compared to knowing Yeshua. That is the most important thing in all of life, that we would know Yeshua, And through Yeshua, that we would know the Father and be in fellowship with Him, that we would count everything as loss, in fact, as rubbish. In fact, the word rubbish means dung, that we would count it as worthless for knowing Yeshua, because in Him, verse 9, in Him, not having our own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness which is from God by faith, and that kind of righteousness that is totally and completely perfect, means that when we have trusted Yeshua and come into a relationship with Him, we are absolutely secure. Whenever I do something wrong, I feel guilty. And when I feel guilty, I feel like I have no basis for coming into the presence of God. And I am absolutely right. In my own strength, in my own ability, in my own righteousness, I don't. But I have trusted Yeshua, and God has credited to me His righteousness, so that any time I can come into the presence of God and not be consumed, because God looks on me and sees the righteousness of Yeshua the Messiah, the perfect Lamb of God, who has taken away my sin and yours and credited to us the perfect righteousness of Yeshua. The righteousness that we require is given to us as a gift in Him. And it is perfect and complete. And once we have trusted Him, that means that you and I are completely secure. And we can come into His presence. And in fact, when we fall, that's the best time, the most important time to come, that we might find healing and restoration and help in Him. He is not surprised at what we have done. It did not shock Him. It may sadden Him, but it does not shock Him. And He says, come that you may be healed. And come that you may know me. And Shaul says in verse 10 that this is a continual knowing, that I know Him, that I know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering and being conformed to His death, that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Death no longer has power over us. And Shaul then says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. We never reach perfection here. We never reach fullness of knowledge here. We are always in progress. We are pressing on. We are reaching forward. We are forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead. And the prize is Yeshua Himself and knowing Him ever more intimately and knowing the Father through Him. He is the goal and the prize, and we press on. Shaul would write in a couple of his other letters, in his letter to the Colossians in the first chapter, and his letter to the Ephesians also in the first chapter, he records prayers for us. And he prays for the believers that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will, and that they would come to please God. And they would please Him by increasing in the knowledge of God. And he would write that in his prayer that he is praying to the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua Mashiach, the Father of glory, that He would give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It is a supernatural thing for you and I to know God. And so it is so appropriate in this growing in our knowing of God and knowing in Yeshua that we should pray for one another, that God will give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that God will give to us the knowledge of His will with all wisdom and understanding, that we would increase in the knowledge of God. This makes life glorious, to pursue God ever more intimately and ever more deeply. Then Peter would write for us about the fact that knowing God personally is the foundation for us experiencing His grace and His promises. In Peter's second letter, he writes about this knowledge of God and how this brings to us grace and great and precious promises. In his second letter, chapter 1, Peter writes, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Yeshua Mashiach, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Yeshua Mashiach, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Yeshua our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua Mashiach." Knowing God means that we have come to experience and have available to us the great and precious promises of God, that God Himself has come to live within us, and we are partakers of the divine nature. God remains distinctly God, but He comes to reside in us, and we are made truly and genuinely who we were intended to be. Some I have talked to from time to time have thought that coming to know God would mean that they would lose themselves. And yet that is the glorious mystery that Yeshua spoke about, that when we lose ourselves, we find ourselves. When we lose everything, we actually gain everything. Woe to the person who gains the whole world and loses his own soul. But blessed is the person who loses everything for the sake of knowing Messiah and finds himself and finds eternal life and finds treasure that is beyond comprehending. The great and precious promises of God are ours through the knowledge of God. And at the end of this letter, Peter will write, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Yeshua Mashiach." That it is an ever-growing thing that you and I grow to know Him ever more deeply, and in knowing Him, we come to experience and know His grace, that freely given power to do all that He has invited us to do, all that He commands us to do. And we experience His great and precious promises. I've read of one person who has suggested that every day of our lives should be a treasure hunt. And that treasure hunt should be that we are looking for the nuggets of the promises of God. And that every day that we should ask God for one or two or three nuggets of promises that we can carry with us throughout the day and exchange and cash in and enjoy as we experience God ever more deeply and experience the richness of life with Him. Philip had been with Yeshua for nearly 3 years. Philip had seen the Father, and yet somehow had missed it. And Yeshua, I think ever so gently, is saying to him, that I'm right here, the Father is right here, you are seeing the Father. And you and I, as we go in this journey of faith, it's interesting that Saul would write in the letter to the Hebrews that we are to make every effort to enter this rest of faith. It seems like a contradiction, but the fight of faith is indeed a fight. That you and I would trust what we know of the Father. That you and I would allow what we have experienced to influence each of our days. I think this is pictured for us in the life of David. As David began to come into the forefront, we see why God picked him and said that he was a man after his own heart. David was a great sinner as well. But the redeeming factor of his life was the fact that he saw the treasure of God and always went to him, and that even in his sinning, he came back to God and confessed and repented. And early in his life, David encountered the situation of Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read this account. And David has tended the sheep. He is being a part of King Saul's life. He's being anointed as king, and he's waiting on God to bring that to pass. And his brothers have gone to fight in the battle with the Israeli army. And the Philistines have come and they are engaged in conflict. The Philistines have challenged Israel with their champion, Goliath, and said, "Bring your champion, and whichever champion succeeds will be the victor, and the other army will be subject to them." And so this Goliath had come out day after day and defied the armies of the living God. And David's dad had sent him with food to find out how his brothers were doing and sent him to the battle. And David had arrived at just the moment that Goliath had come out and challenged the army and defied the living God. And in 1 Samuel 17, we pick up the story in verse 34. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And so we see this holy faith that David had, and how faith and growing in the knowledge of God is to look like in our lives. David had cared for the sheep, and a lion and a bear had come along to take away the sheep. And David had killed both. And David recognized that it was the Lord who delivered him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And reasoning by faith, David said, "If God could deliver me from a bear and from a lion, God can also deliver me from this big giant." That is the reasoning of faith that God invites us into as we grow to know Him, as we grow to walk with Him. That is basically what Yeshua was saying to Philip. "Philip, think, what have you seen? What have you seen in my life, Philip?" Philip was there when Yeshua walked by the Sea of Galilee, and Yeshua had come to him personally and said, "Philip, follow me." And Philip had found Nathanael and brought him to Yeshua and said, "We have found the Messiah." And then sometime later, Yeshua had been with the multitudes and had come to Philip and said, "Philip, Let's feed these 5,000 people plus women and children. Where do you think we can find food for that? And Philip said, "Whoa, I don't know. Where could we buy that much?" And Yeshua was simply helping him to see all of the resources of God. And from a small sack lunch of a few fish and a few loaves of bread, Yeshua, looking to the Father living in him and impressing him, "I want to feed these people not just my word, but also with the physical food that they need to live." And Philip had been right there to see God multiply that small sack lunch and made it enough to feed more than 5,000 people plus 12 baskets full left over. That God is not chintzy. That God is generous and gives more than enough. Enough to satisfy and beyond. And then on another occasion, Philip had been there when some Greeks had come and they wanted to see Yeshua. And they were going to make him king. And Yeshua had said, "I am not going to be king that way, but rather I am going to be king by the way of the cross. That a kernel of wheat remains by itself unless it falls to the ground and dies. And if it dies, it bears much fruit." Philip had been there to hear that and to see Yeshua turn away the way of becoming a king by the world standards and becoming a king by God's way. Philip had seen all that, and so Yeshua was saying, "Philip, engage your mind. Reason. Think. What have you seen? Believe me. If you don't believe the words that I've said, believe me because of the works you have seen." And so, along with David, who reasoned that if God could help me kill the lion and the bear, he can help me kill this Philistine. Philip, you've seen my works. You have seen the Father. And so God invites us in the same way, that we would use our minds and the blessing of faith and the insight of faith, that we would realize that God is at work revealing himself, and that God will take care of us, and that God will help us in knowing him and living with him now and through all eternity. In him is our life, and in knowing him is eternal life. Yeshua and the Father are one, and when we have the Son, we have the Father, and when we have the Father, we have life. Thanks be to God for revealing himself to us, drawing us to himself in this relationship that is beautiful and glorious. You see, Philip gets it. Philip was there when Yeshua showed up after he had died and was raised from the dead. In John chapter 20, Philip was there. In verse 19, it says that then the same day at evening, being this the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Yeshua came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And then when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Philip was there on that day, and he was there when Thomas would see the Lord too. Thomas was not there on that occasion, but the next time that Yeshua showed up, Thomas was there. And Yeshua would say to Thomas, who had doubted that they had seen the risen Lord, Yeshua would say to him, "Reach your finger and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas had fallen on his face and said, "My Lord and my God." Philip was there. Philip recognized that indeed Yeshua and the Father were one. And Philip was there on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out on Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. He was there. And he was one who stood up and proclaimed the wonders of the Lord to the people who were gathered. And so that brings great encouragement to us, that even though we may be slow of heart to believe, that God graciously comes to us and reveals himself to us and helps us to know him, to enter into relationship with him, and then he helps us to keep on knowing him and keep on knowing him and enlarging our soul that we would know more and more and more of him. And that is life eternal. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, in great humility, we come before you and say thank you for intersecting our lives. Thank you for creating us. And thank you for inviting us into a relationship with you that is intimate and real and personal. And thank you that you have been so desirous of this relationship that you sent your one and only begotten Son, Yeshua, the Messiah, that we would see what you look like, that Yeshua is God in flesh, that we have beheld your glory. How glorious it is to see you. How glorious it is to know you. Father, put a fresh joy and a fresh delight and a fresh energy in us in this wonderful adventure of knowing you. And we pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that you would give us the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom, that we might know you ever more intimately until we stand with you face to face and then spend all eternity getting to know you. Thank you, Father, for this glorious relationship with you. Satisfy us with yourself. Satisfy us with your steadfast love every day. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.